Welcome to Top of the Game with Javier Sade, where we talk to amazing people that are shaping the world. These lightning round talks explore what makes remarkable leaders tick. Thinkers and doers, pushing humankind forward and at the top of their game. Impactful insights, global perspectives, valuable wisdom you can use every day in your life and work. This is Top of the Game. Enjoy today's episode. Here's Javier.
Dante Desparte's story starts inside the jungles of Puerto Rico, eventually becoming the first in his family with a formal education. He is currently the Chief Strategy Officer and Head of Global Policy for Circle, a leading global financial technology firm and the issuer of USDC. USDC has supported more than $10 trillion in transactions. He is also Executive Vice Chairman of the Diem Association, and prior to joining Circle, Dante served as a founding executive of the Diem Association, previously known as Libra, which was backed by Meta, previously known as Facebook. He's a prolific author, entrepreneur, business leader, and global risk expert who previously served as chairman of Risk Co-op, MD of Clements Worldwide, and MD of Land Rover in Africa. He's a member of the World Economic Forum and served as an appointee at FEMA's Nationally Advisory Council. He's a graduate of Harvard Business School and holds an MSc in risk management from NYU. He was recognized as one of the 40 leaders under 40 by the Washington Business Journal and is a life member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a member of the Economic Club of Washington, D.C., and the Bretton Woods Committee. Enjoy. Dante Desparte, how are you, my friend?
I am great, Javier Sade. It's great to be on with you.
Let me tell you something. Every time I get to talk to you is incredible. And for the listeners, we have a lot of things in common, starting with the fact that our provenance is from the little island, which everybody loves, Puerto Rico, which is kind of, well, I don't want to start you on Puerto Rico, but I want to start sort of at the beginning. Give me a 62-second rundown of kind of your early days trajectory up until your first job after college.
Amazing. Well, let me see if I could do that in 62 seconds, because it's probably a longer, more convoluted journey than 62 seconds will allow. But I was born and raised in La Isla del Encanto, the lovely island of Puerto Rico. We actually grew up originally in the rainforest. So El Yunque, the tropical rainforest in Puerto Rico, was my backyard, in what can only be described as scenes from a movie titled The Beast of the Southern Wild. We were feral children living in the tropical rainforest, a very bohemian upbringing. My mother, God bless her, was an English teacher, a journalist, had many, many, many roles over my siblings and I. And I was the first of my siblings to get through high school or college. And so I wear that as a badge of honor, because in many cases, you know, arriving to some degree to professional success may often betray the hard journey of getting there. And so I wear that as a badge of honor. And then, you know, the early part of my career, Javier, was in management consulting at a company called Corporate Executive Board here in DC. Then I found the insurance and risk industry, which I called home for many years, and then became an entrepreneur, and then eventually found myself uploading the US dollar onto the internet as the Chief Strategy Officer and Head of Global Policy for Circle.
We'll get to your career trajectory in a second, which is actually astounding, all the things you've touched. And everybody loves to talk about their successes, but it is in our stumbles and failures that we probably learn the most. And that's the next question I'm going to ask you, Dante, is if you were to look at, we all screw up all the time. I'm sure you have, although I don't know, I never see it. But tell me about a stumble, a screw up you learn from.
Yeah, and you know, look, as a risk, as an entrepreneur, embracing the times that you have failed and when you have failed, I probably have too many to count, right? That, you know, from you know, journeys overseas, for example, I used to run Land Rover in Sub-Saharan Africa. That wasn't a particularly great professional chapter in my life, even if it was, you know, my first real breakthrough in general management. But it turns out that my job at that time was to, you know, try to stabilize the business and eventually sell it back to Land Rover. So that wasn't the plan, right? The plan was to run it. And, you know, I relocated my family to the United Kingdom, and we, our plan was to stay put for a few years. It didn't last nearly as long as I had hoped. So learned a lot from that, about longevity, and frankly, learned a lot from that about never wanting to work again in an industry where the product got stuck in customs. And so I went back to insurance and risk not shortly after my little Land Rover debacle.
Wow, what a story. I mean, talk about being far away from that in your day job today. And let's stick with this sort of squiggly line. I mean, insurance, I know you know, for the listeners, you started something called Risk Cooperative, which is an incredible enterprise in the insurance space. Then you went to, I guess, to what can be described as a sub partnership with now Meta to get into the blockchain and all these digital assets and stuff you do every day. So can you draw a thread? And this is longer than 62 seconds, but no longer than 122 seconds.
Yeah.
How do you make sense of your kind of crazy squiggly as hell line?
Yeah. Well, so yes, from the chapter, I call it the Jerry Maguire chapter, right? So after Land Rover, I became the managing director of a big insurance company called Clements Worldwide that insured people in 170 countries. And it was a phenomenal job, really, really enjoyed it. And the product didn't get stuck in customs. And so what makes a squiggly line really straight is that it is always you, the self-selection. And I think this is a very, very powerful thing. So despite the fact that I left this stable 80-year-old company to start Risk Cooperative as an entrepreneur with little capital, it was a completely bootstrapped Jerry Maguire startup. But what I learned from that project in that phase of my career is that I no longer had to look over my shoulder and ask someone for permission to do something, chapter in that journey. And all along, what it did is it improved discoverability. And so I'm a huge believer, Javier, in serendipity. Uh-huh. And because of the Risk Cooperative chapter, it was always me doing the selection and having agency. But the ability to improve your discoverability was a huge breakthrough professionally. And along came this small stealth mode startup called Libra, uh-huh, which was backed by Facebook and 28 other organizations to, you know, effectively build an innovation on digital currencies that would power billions of people around the world. And I found myself going from risk to the very bleeding edge of finance and payments simply through serendipity, basically.
Serendipity plays a bigger role in everyone's lives, despite what we think about our abilities and skills and capabilities, like being at the right place at the right time. But really, the luckier you get is because you're working. The harder you work, the luckier you get, kind of thing. So, you know, we make our own luck, even though there are some things around fate. Let's talk about Circle. I mean, the world, let me see where I start with you with this. Everything's getting digitized. Now with AI, everything's getting much smarter, much more automated. And you've been kind of at this very bleeding edge of making money more democratic because of how you transfer. Can you describe a little bit to the listeners, and full disclosure to the listeners, my firm is an early investor in the company in which Dante leads a big part of, and my partner is on the board. So can you describe, the first question is, at 30,000 feet, why should we care about digital currencies? Who cares about this stuff and why?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is, I think one of the most profound innovations on the planet. I have thought so since I joined the sector, and even well before, I thought this innovation was functionally completing unfinished work in the financial system. And that sort of quest for equity and quest for access, as you know, is a very personal one for me. Mm-hmm. But I think of it in just very basic business terms and strategy terms, right? That if you want to have access to financial services, but it all depends on whether you were born in the right postal code or whether you can clear the know your customer screenings of a traditional brick and mortar bank, then literally billions of people all over the world will be left on the financial margins. And then if we think for a second that this is merely an issue for the people so unfortunate to be born in the wrong countries or south of the equator, then the COVID-19 pandemic offers us in the earth and we're a so-called fortress nation. And so I think Circle's mission is to raise global economic prosperity. And we're doing all over the world with partners from the UN, major payments companies in Latin America to lower the basic cost of payments, while at the same time ensuring that people could use their phones as the on-ramps to the global economy. And that's a profoundly unique, but also profoundly important mission of completing unfinished work in the global economy.
Talk about profound. I mean, that was such a masterclass in kind of the promise of digital assets and using the blockchain to effectively remove friction and making sure that everybody has a fair chance of participating. Let me stay with one thing you said, which is pretty interesting with COVID. And you and I actually, out of the hundreds of articles you've written, we wrote one together. I remember it was around the COVID time where we examined sort of this issue around, you know, I don't know, $4 or $5 trillion were either backstopped or funded by the federal government. But then the last mile was what could be best described as a cluster. The people that most needed the funds to keep the economy operating were the smallest enterprises and the poorest people and the ones that needed it the most. And, but everybody has a phone. And most people have access to some sort of connection. So thread the needle on this because, you know, you go to Africa, I know you travel all over the world and people are attached to these amazing devices.
Yeah.
Just tell the listeners a little more about the vision of having this kind of frictionless way to transfer and store value.
Yeah. People. Well, and so though herein is the crux of it, right? That that, you know, in a world where you have nearly 3 billion people who are unbanked or underbanked, but yet of them, a billion roughly have access to a low cost internet connected mobile phone. The mobile phone itself becomes the digital on-ramp to the global economy, right? And we've seen proxies for this already that have worked, you know, have had really exponential impacts on financial inclusion. The case study, for example, of the rise of M-Pesa in East Africa.
Yep.
Prior to M-Pesa, countries like Kenya had very high percentages of unbanked populations. In the decade that M-Pesa, the mobile money network in East Africa, took off, virtually the entire population has access to banking services and payments and so on. I was with the head of the Kenyan Central Bank last year, and he looked at me and said, you know, with the onset of the pandemic in Kenya, we didn't send a physical check to anyone. I was begrudging the experience in the United States of moving more than $6 trillion of taxpayer-funded money to people across the country through the programs that we put in place in the United States. The Kenyan Central Bank has no reference for sending a physical check. And so I think part of what we're building and part of what Circle's business promise is all about is about connecting the dots. A world that already has mobile ubiquity and basic global internet connectivity through mobile devices would also need a digital dollar to be a corresponding payload, if you will, so that all of those dots can be connected and people can have access. There's also, as you can imagine, a deep national security, global security thread to my work and to the work that we're doing at Circle, which is about, you know, if you want the dollar to remain the global reserve currency and the United States to continue enjoying the exorbitant privilege of that reserve currency, we actually have to ensure the dollar has a form factor that is fit for purpose for the 21st century. And meaning it can't just be analog and it can't just be in the hands of traditional banks. It also has to be a digital representation of money. And I think USDC and Circle's products and services represent that competition.
The utility of utilities has to evolve, if I were to kind of summarize that. And, you know, look into the global south. I love the fact that you brought M-Pesa. There's a lot of leapfrogging that happens. Institutions, they I mean, they literally try, you know, there's been some very interesting analogs, even in Africa, specifically outside of financial services. I mean, telecommunications, for example, there were no landlines. So there's all these interesting dichotomies between quote unquote fortress nations, which you call mm-hmm. the US, and it's the quintessential because it is our currency mm-hmm. that drives global commerce. Complete left turn. And you know, Dante, these shows are supposed to be really, really fast. And the challenge I'm having with these shows is that I'm talking to these amazing people, including you, that could go on for hours, but we can't. I'm going to ask you something because there's very few people that look like you. Mm. There's a lot of Black Latinos, but very few that kind of reach kind of these amazing organizations, leading billions of dollars, all this stuff you touch. If you were to talk to a young Dante, 20-year-old Dante, and Melissa's that look like you, what do you tell them with what's coming in the next 20, 30 years, career-wise?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, first of all, the good news is one of my real passions in life is actually mentorship. And I think I probably couldn't reach the hundreds of thousands or the millions, but any single person who reaches out to me and asks for, and that's one way of paying. 5% of the jobs 10 to 15 years from today don't yet exist. Mm-hmm. And like me, if you were born in adversity or the improbable kid who got out of the bucket of crabs, mm-hmm. which is one way to describe the island of Puerto Rico, is that, yep. you know, anyone who's about to get out gets pulled back down occasionally. Mm-hmm. Is if in a world where the jobs yet don't exist, agency is your friend. And taking life, taking opportunities, taking your career trajectory in your own hands is your friend. And discover what I discovered with creating Risk Cooperative as early as possible, which is, you know, how to find your own voice and how to be a protagonist. I think those are important lessons. There is nobody anywhere that is going to give you favors and give you sort of opportunities that you didn't earn. And there's no shortcuts. And so I think those would be kind of key takeaways that I have applied over time, you know, in my professional life as much as my personal life.
Amazing advice from an amazing person. Dante, thank you for joining us. The world is lucky to have you. Keep doing what you're doing. And I look forward to continuing to see what you're doing.
You're the best, Javier Sade. What a great way to start the year.
All right, my brother.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. For information and links about today's guests, check out the show notes and visit topofthegame-thepod.com. Your host, Javier Sade, the show Top of the Game. Thanks for listening.